This podcast is a copyrighted production of Radio America and is not intended for broadcast. Welcome to Mom Talk with Maria Bailey. For the next hour, join Maria as she takes on topics important to you. Finances, raising children, and dealing with your husband through his tough times and yours. This is the place to be as Maria and her guests bring you a wealth of information on all of these topics. Now, Maria Bailey on Mom Talk Radio.
Well, happy Easter from Mom Talk Radio. This is Mary Donlin in for Maria Bailey, and I'm so glad to be with you all and celebrating, if you celebrate Easter, happy Easter. And we are also celebrating Passover this week. I had to Google that, and it started on Friday. So if you've had your Seder, I hope it was a blessed one. And going forward this week, and I didn't realize it actually goes until April 11th. So Passover greetings, and again, happy Easter. And as my producer, Al, just said, by tonight, because it is, well, this show airs Sunday night, but even if it's the week following Easter, most of our kids have already gotten sick on all the Easter candy that the Easter bunny left in their baskets, from the chocolate bunnies to my personal favorite, which is the Reese's eggs and Butterfingers and all that stuff. So in the tradition of the Catholics, which are my family is, we gave up something for Lent, and my 8-year-old is just dying for her Easter bunny, or her chocolate is what she gave up, I should say. So this morning, of course, she gets this humongous chocolate Easter bunny. And that's the point of it, is she sacrificed for 40 days. She sacrificed chocolate. So I was very proud of her the whole time, the whole Lenten season. She'd never touched it. And she just went crazy with that. And we tried to find her the biggest chocolate bunny we could find. And we got a pretty big one. So I think I'm going to be chopping it up and melting it to put over like pretzels or something. So I hope your Easter was blessed and that your week is going to be even better. We have a great show lined up. I want to briefly mention that we are sponsored by Pre-Mama, which is the prenatal vitamin that you can drink. So if you're trying to decide on a prenatal vitamin, you've got to try this. It's a powder that you put into a beverage, or better yet, a smoothie, because I know a lot of moms love smoothies. I know I make one in the morning. And you put one Pre-Mama sleeve in your smoothie, and you've got your prenatal vitamins for the day. So it's got all the important nutrients and vitamins for you and baby, like DHA, folic acid, gentle iron, B6 for nausea relief, which we know is really, really important. So go to drinkpremama.com for information and a store locator. There's small specialty stores and vitamin stores throughout the country, actually, and follow Drink Pre-Mama on Facebook and Twitter, too. So check it out. And on Amazon are the Essentials, which is an unflavored formula, and the Plus, which is a citrus flavor, and that's got the DHA in it. So check it out. It's a great option for moms who are taking a prenatal vitamin. So on to our great show today. We have a psychologist, actually a pediatric neuropsychologist. I had to read that. Dr. Rita Eckenstein, who's going to be talking about Not What I Expected, Hope and Help for Parents of Atypical Children. And I'm not sure I know of any family that doesn't have at least one atypical child. I have one. So we'll be talking as well to two mompreneurs. You want to stick around and listen to their insights and ideas. And then ending the show, we'll be talking to Steve Devick, who's going to be talking about the King Devick test. And this is actually about fluency, reading fluency and eye movement. So we've got a great show lined up. Again, happy Easter. Oh, and I should not forget, my middle child turned 13 today. I have officially two teenagers in my house. Yes, yes. I need all the sympathy cards I can get. So, and my son turns 15 tomorrow, April 5th and April 6th. So I have two April babies in my house. So happy birthday to my beautiful daughter today. And we celebrated last week because we've been on spring break, and she had two awesome parties. So we are done. So actually, first up, we'll be talking to Dr. Rita Eckenstein, the psychologist and pediatric neuropsychologist I was telling you about. And after this quick break, we'll talk about her book.
Even supermoms need a little advice. Here's yours. More of Mom Talk Radio.
This is Mary and for Maria on this wonderful episode of Mom Talk Radio, and it's so informative because our first guest is Dr. Rita Eichenstein, a noted psychologist and pediatric neuropsychologist who has written the book, Not What I Expected, Help and Hope for Parents of Atypical Children. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Dr. Eichenstein.
Thank you, Mary.
Okay, so as I said earlier in the intro, I have an atypical child. It's a friend of mine actually equated it to like just instead of going to Europe, you go to another country. It's just a different reality. So your specialty is pediatric neuropsychology, correct?
Right. Yes, it is.
You have a wealth of experience. Tell us a little bit about it.
I've been working with children and families for over 20 years, and in order to find out exactly what's happening with their little mystery puzzle, parents bring their children to me so I could sit and do an assessment and spend many hours, sometimes several hours, with the child and get to know him or her, what makes him or her tick, and if they meet a criteria for a diagnosis, and I explain to the parents what that is and what they need to do. But some children actually don't meet criteria for diagnoses, but they are difficult, quirky, different, or just atypical. So that's why I coined the term atypical, because not all children who give their parents so much challenge are really have a diagnosis.
Right.
But when you do get a diagnosis, it is parents have a variety of reactions. And that's why I wrote the book, to help parents cope with their feelings and to understand that what they're going through is normal and how to help them move through those phases so that they can embrace their child open-heartedly and understand their own feelings and reactions.
You look at any bookshelf in a library or a bookstore and there's something for ADD, ADHD, autism, but you're right, just to have that child that doesn't even fit in the diagnoses box, this is an excellent resource.
There are thousands of parenting books, but in all the parenting books, they talk about children, what to expect when you're expecting, what to expect from your one-year-old, what to expect from your two-year-old, but no books focus on the parents, what to expect when the unexpected happens to you. And parents go through an emotional journey and myriads of feelings. And how do I cope with my own feelings? They don't feel good about their feelings. There's guilt. There's what did I do to cause this? There's a panic. How is this child going to make it in life? There's shame. I can't tell anybody. What am I going to tell the neighbors? There are so many different reactions. And so I put together different phases that you can expect and helping parents understand that their emotions are normal. I want parents to understand this, and I want them to feel better about themselves, because when parents feel good about themselves, they can wholeheartedly embrace their child. And that we know for sure, that the attachment process, the bonding that happens between parent and child, happens best when parents are in control of their own feelings and understand themselves and takes time for themselves.
I'm fascinated by this because, again, if you've been through, I'm sure, plenty of assessments, and that's what prompted you to write this book.
Well, what prompted me to write the book was that no matter how excellent the assessment was and how accurate I was about the child and giving them lists of accommodations and interventions and recommendations and long-term things, I found that parents go into different reaction phases that had nothing to do with their child's diagnosis, actually. Some parents retreated, some went into denial, some just froze and were unable to move forward, some were angry, some got depressed. And I realized that the success of the child does not necessarily lean on the diagnosis, but it actually has to do with the parent's reaction to the diagnosis. And so I wrote this book to help parents understand themselves so that they can move on and help their child. So it begins with the parents.
Absolutely.
And that's counterintuitive.
I would say the adjective I would use was anxious. My child's younger school years, it was very difficult. You know, parent-teacher conferences, and I knew he just didn't fit in a box, but, you know, and we had him in a private school, and I don't know, it just, there's so many different, do you address that in the book in terms of how you go about even identifying, I'm assuming a parent would be the first sign, you know the first signs of atypical behavior. Do you talk about how you deal with schools and pediatricians?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. I mean, the school is part of the phase, dealing with the school and how to embrace the school and make it part of your team rather than create an adversarial approach.
Right.
You know, when it comes to atypical, there's plenty of blame to go around. So either the parents are blaming the teachers or the teachers are blaming the parents, or everyone's blaming the inefficient school system, or the husband's blaming the wife's blaming the husband, the mother-in-law's blaming the mom. You know, the blame is going around all over. And so embracing the reality only happens when you work through your anxiety and all the resulting feelings that happen. There could be denial. Right? A lot of times one of the parents are in denial. There's nothing wrong with my child. This is a terrible school. Let's switch schools. Let's switch cities. I even have families that have switched countries. Let's go to this country. It's got to be better there. And so blaming the country, blaming the environment, and putting their child on all sorts of diets that are not scientifically backed. I talk a lot about bargaining. There's a whole chapter on bargaining, how anxious parents are so vulnerable to slick ads and snake oil salesmen that will sell them diets and techniques and cures, and relying on slick websites and testimonials. So there's no scientific basis. But really, no one is more vulnerable than a parent.
Can you tell our listeners where they can find your book?
Go to notwhatiexpected.info. I write a blog called Positively Atypical by Dr. Rita Eikenstein. But if you go to notwhatiexpected.info, it takes you to all sorts
of
fun places.
Not What I Expected, Help and Hope for Parents of Atypical Children, just released last week. Dr. Rita Eikenstein, a pleasure to have you on Mom Talk Radio. We'll be joined by Tabby Quintana, who's going to talk about how she juggles mother, blogger, and entrepreneur. We'll be right back. This is Marian for Maria, and my favorite segment of Mom Talk Radio is the Spotlight on Moms. We talk to moms just like me and you who are juggling and doing the balancing act every day. And I'm pleased to introduce Tabby Quintana, who is the mom of three children, 13, 16, and 20. And her blog is systematicu.blogspot.com and on Twitter at systematicu. So, Tabby, you are a mom, a blogger, an entrepreneur, and you have a lot of balls in the air in this juggling act. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. So, your children are older, but I'm sure you've always had this drive to be a mompreneur. Tell us a little bit about how you're balancing it all.
Well, my balancing act requires a very simple system, a simple calendar. So I keep everything on my calendar, and if I don't have it on my calendar, it gets lost. So balancing for me, it means just writing it down.
Right. Do you use like electronics technology, like your phone? And because I have tried to use my phone to sync it. And so same thing, if it's not on my calendar, it doesn't happen.
Well, for me, I'm actually old school. Paper and pen. I have an old school planner, and I keep everything on there. However, I do keep alerts for very important meetings, like for today, example, the radio interview.
Right.
So I would have me a little quick, you know, little ding to remind me to do it.
Yep. Good. Good. So your company is your Systematic U. Tell us a little bit about that.
Correct. I started Systematic U late last year, and it was a passion of mine to just help women entrepreneurs keep focused, because I found throughout networking events and also building my own teams in direct sales that a lot of women were focused lacking. So what I started was Systematic U to help them with accountability groups, time management training, and even I started providing the service of professional organizing so women could get their home offices organized. So it's all about keeping the woman entrepreneur organized.
Come to Florida. Are you in Florida? I need you.
Actually, I'm in Florida. Yes, I am. I'm in South Florida.
Oh, are you? Oh, I am too. Oh, my goodness. After this segment, I'm going to get your number. I'm redoing. Like we built a house years ago, but I had three children very young, and I haven't done a thing to it. And I keep saying, I need organization. I need organization. So that's great.
Well,
so, yeah. So actually, and you're a former Marine. So this is all,
yes,
this
I
all
am.
Is making sense now.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about then. So do you share tips on your blog for moms to get organized and stay focused?
Yes, I do. On my blog, I call it my adventures as being an entrepreneur. So what I do is I share time management tips, how to keep focused, how to, you know, stop chasing shiny objects. In addition to, I use it as a resource because I have met so many amazing entrepreneurial women, and they share their tips and their stories. So everybody could feel like they're not out there all alone, you know, in like this little bubble being an entrepreneur.
Oh, right. And, you know, being Maria Bailey, the normal host of the show, she is so good about that, I will say. And we've discovered, and I've worked with her for 5 years now, women are so much better. I would say 99% of women I know, and Marie, obviously, with her background and influence, women are so much better helping each other and empowering each other. And somebody like you who started this business to help other women be focused and stronger and more organized is just, we find that so much in our industry.
Thank you. No, I believe that women, while they're working in community, can go 10 times further than a woman, you know, trying to do it on her own, trying to figure it out by
Absolutely.
Herself.
So, yeah. And resources resources like your blog are one of the things. I just think it's so important to reach out. And you're right. A lot of women just try to operate and you're not in a vacuum and we try to operate like we are. So, a few seconds left. So tell our listeners again where they can find out information about your business and your tips and your strategies, because you are a busy mom.
Well, for me, it's really easy. They could go to systematicu.com and they could find all my information there, the link to the blog, everything about my services and about myself.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you, Tabby. Congratulations on the new company. Best of luck. And I'll definitely be looking you up. So after the show. Again, that's Tabby Quintana.
Thank you.
And her Twitter is SystematicU and SystematicU.com. And after a quick break, we'll be joined by Gillian Garrett, also known as Gilly, who is another emerging mompreneur. Stay with us.
Listening to a podcast from the Radio America Network. Find more podcasts of your favorite shows at radioamerica.org. Mothers of America, this hour belongs to you. It's Mom Talk Radio with Maria Bailey.
We're welcoming another mompreneur to Mom Talk Radio today. I'm pleased to introduce Gillian Stolwart Garrett. She likes to be called Gilly. Her friends call her Gilly. She is a passionate believer in self-care and believes that everyone, especially moms, should take some time every day to recharge. And boy, I love this topic. So I won't talk anymore. I'll let Gilly say it. Hi, Gilly.
Hi, Mary. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for joining
us. Thank you. Yes, I definitely am a believer in self-care. And once I became a mother, it became that much more apparent to me how important it is. And having three children and running a business, you've got to take time for yourself. Absolutely.
Right. So I love your quote. You say you have to take care of ourselves to effectively take care of others. Don't be a martyr. I have martyr syndrome so bad a lot of the time.
So do I. That's why it's like my tagline. I need to be reminded. I need it in my bio so that I can take time for myself every day and, you know, be an awesome mother and be an amazing business person and do what I need to do. And the only way I'm going to do it is if I take that hour for myself every day, regardless of whether it's working out or eating well or getting a massage or whatever, meditating. I need it, and I take it. And I totally tell other moms that that's what they have to do. It's my mantra. So.
Right. Good. Yes. So amongst other things, your writer is Inspire and a wellness influencer. You have an organic product line.
I do. I have a line of organic skincare, and it started kind of as a hobby, and I've always been a mixer of sorts. Years ago, when I used to write for a big cosmetics company that was terrific to work for, I freelance wrote for them for years, and then it sort of happened the way it was supposed to happen because the VP got let go that was feeding me all of my work, and at that time, I met my husband in an organic takeout restaurant in Manhattan and started living more naturally and felt like I couldn't really write for them anymore. And one day I mixed up a sugar scrub, actually a blend of oils that ultimately became a sugar scrub, which ultimately became my bestseller, which is now also the name of my company, Hey Sugar Looking Good. So it started as a hobby and it became a line. And then once the sugar scrub took off a little bit, people said, when are you going to make a body butter? What about face cream? And so it took a little while, and now I have 9 beautiful, luscious, healing, vegan, paraben-free, sulfate-free, fragrance-free, but they smell amazing with essential oils, and I'm really happy with it.
Great. Something started as a hobby, and it took off on a life of its own because powerful award of mom. Now you're in Whole Foods markets, I believe.
I am in Whole
Jersey.
Foods. Yay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great.
In New Jersey and hopefully more soon.
Yeah.
I also like to inspire other women, not just for self-care, but for life care. So I talk to other women about what are you passionate about? So a hobby can become a business because you want it to. And so I still did work. I still had other jobs and did this on the side until it became something that I could, this is what I do. And I also obviously still love to write, so I do it. But I tell my friends, okay, you like to bake, start a business on the side. And now it's grown.
The last segment with the last mom entrepreneur, Maria believes in that. We all believe in that here, but it's particularly important to when you follow a passion, because then you're doing what you love, trying to integrate all the activities of your kids and your business and your marriage and your social life and your friends. And as you said, the time for yourself. It's all about following a passion. So Hey Sugar Looking Good is your website, correct?
With one G. Hey Sugar Looking. LOOKINGOOD.com.
Gotcha. If you had to pick one thing, because I love how you carve your hour out, what would be your just easiest go-to recharge for yourself?
I definitely think that the workout gives me the endorphins that I need.
Yes,
and that confidence. Yes. Can we talk about one other thing? Because confidence is really important, I think, for moms and for women. I think a lot of times women don't start things and do things for themselves because they lack the confidence and they need the reminder. And I've recently been introduced to an incredible organization called the Girls Lounge. I don't know if you've heard of that. Have you heard of the Ipsos Girls Lounge? Okay, so this mentor, an amazing friend of mine, Shelley Zalis, she started this organization called the Girls Lounge, and it's all about building confidence. And it follows these conventions in all different industries like research and advertising and marketing, and it's a place where women can get together. And this is like another passion of mine recently, where you go to these events, this Girls Lounge, and you get this feeling of empowerment and sisterhood. So that's one of the things that I would do if I had an hour, is I would go go to one of these lounges, because that is where I feel like I get this boost and support from other women, which is just incredible.
I would say
that for me, the thing that I need to do is sometimes it's to work out, sometimes it's to meditate to get that confidence, sometimes it's to be a part of organizations like the Girls Lounge and things like that.
It's Hey Sugar Looking Good with one N, and the G actually is shared between looking and good. Again, it's Gillian Stolwart Garrett. Check it out. And when we come back, we'll be talking again with Barb Schmidt.
Even super moms need a little advice. Here's yours. More of Mom Talk Radio.
Welcome back. This is Marion for Maria. And on this segment, we're going to switch off the topic of food and on to a peaceful mind, peaceful world topic. I'm pleased to introduce Barb Schmidt, who is a captivating speaker and who shows her passion and charisma for all things peaceful with her program. She has an outreach program through FAU, Florida Atlantic University, and it's designed to promote dialogue in the greater community on the topic of inner peace, and you do workshops and teachings. So I'm pleased to introduce Barb Schmidt. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Barb.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be here today.
During the break, I had to ask, she has esteemed mentors, including His Holiness the Dalai Lama, Dr. Jane Goodall, and Dr. Andrew Weil, and that is an impressive list. Tell us how you've interacted with them over the as your mentors.
Well, I've been on retreats and workshops with all of them and have met them personally. But one of the greatest things that I've done with them is when I started my outreach program at Florida Atlantic University back in about 2003, it was my deep desire that I knew that I could go on retreats with these incredible teachers and be with them, but I wanted to bring them to South Florida and really offer programs and lectures and offer their wisdom and their knowledge and their great depth of spirit and practice to a wide audience. So I started bringing each year I would bring one or two of them to the university through the programs that I was giving there. And it's, you know, offering it at $20 a person so that really people could afford and really get a taste of these people. So that's where it all started. And it's just a really great passion of mine that everybody gets a chance to hear these great people.
That's fabulous. And you realize how excited I am because I am right down the street from FAU. So I unfortunately am just hearing of your group, but I'm now going to be following you. So you actually promote outer peace beginning with inner peace through a three-part series called The Practice. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
When I did partner with the Peace Studies program there at FAU, they had all the components of peace, but they didn't have the inner peace, meditation, and really finding your deep strength within inner. So I started this program there, bringing all the people here, doing my own workshops and lectures. And so the practice is my practice that I do every single day that's been tweaked and formulated over the past 30 years of my discovery and my journey. So it's a waking up 5-minute morning meditation, and you carry the thread of that piece of that connecting with yourself in the morning throughout the day with practicing being focused and in the moment, with doing one thing at a time where you can, using a sacred mantra and really doing some reading that inspires you to really reach and live your greatest life based on some of the other people that have walked before us, like these teachers we've talked about, and then letting it all go at the end of the day. We can't change anything that's happened. We can reflect back and we can really get a good look at what we did, what we didn't do, and what really feels good. And then we really can't do anything about it. It's out of our control. So learning some techniques of reflection for 5 minutes to end the day to go into a peaceful night's sleep. The day is not one long thread. I like to tell people it's a beginning, a middle, and an end. And it really does end so that you can wake up the next morning refreshed and ready to start a brand new day. So that's my framework. Not rigid, but it's a really good guide that anyone can practice and can kind of a recipe, let's say. I like to call it a recipe. You can take pieces of it. You can tweak it to fit your schedule, to fit your life. I really believe life is all about finding our own way, finding our own truth, walking our own path. So it's really a recipe for doing that.
Everybody's got every mom and dad and caregiver has a different, going to need a different recipe, really. So that it's definitely flexible is what it sounds like.
Well, my own recipe has changed. When I first started this path, it was before my daughter was born, so I was really into it as she was younger and a baby and then off to middle school and high school and college. So my whole practice has changed. You know, as a mom, when you have a little ones at home, you really have to find little 5 minutes here and 5 minutes there. And as she got older and left home eventually for college and now her own life, it's different. So in our own lives and in my own life, I've had to tweak it all along the way and be open, receptive, and flexible without being rigid and making it have to be this way or it won't work. Our life isn't like that.
And it's interesting because even this morning I was watching the news. I can't watch the news anymore with my kids because I feel like there's so much turmoil and all the news is so negative. Mm-hmm. So I think this is all pointing to what you're teaching and the practice.
I like to, you have to be informed and you have to know what's happening in the outer world.
Right,
you live
I agree.
In the outer world and it's wonderful, but we also have to be connected and plugged into ourselves internally. So I say we're connected 24/7 with the media and with shows like yours. That's so wonderful. I mean, I love these kind of shows. But then we also need to plug into ourselves, plug in the external and plug into yourself and kind of do that nice dance or that rhythmic, beautiful flow of nature of going in and coming out and going in and coming out, not staying outside too long and listening to all of that media opinions that did bring mm-hmm. you down, as you just said, and it is quite negative, but still stay informed. So it's a nice, beautiful, delicate balance of being connected within so you have your strength and courage and know your own truth, but then also really staying informed in the external world. And that's the balance of life, I think. And the practice helps yes. you find that framework.
Yes, excellent. And again, I agree. Like I said, I don't mean that I like to stay informed, of course, but I sometimes think, oh, you know, you're right. You have to have that balance. And I think that's a good word. Yeah. So talk about really quick. You mentioned, I caught it because I was actually doing yoga yesterday and they talk about a mantra. Oh. Talk about your sacred mantra and when and how we should use it. You said you come back to it throughout the day.
Yeah. It's the lifeline. It's based on this sacred tradition of all the religious traditions and all of the Native American Indian tradition. All of the great teachings out there have a word or a phrase or a hallowed simple sentence that they have all used to come back to. So if you do some research, and I have a great chapter on it in my book, and I have a lot of them listed in the back of the book, you find one that resonates with you. It's not something that you make up. It's just one that's been hallowed throughout the centuries of these great traditions. You find one that touches you, and you start repeating it. It intercepts the negative thoughts. It intercepts the worrisome thoughts. It intercepts the fear that's out there in the external world. It brings your mind back to the present moment. And by connecting with this phrase or word or sentence from these hallowed traditions, you're connecting to your deep source of God or strength or light or love within. It's powerful. It's incredibly powerful. I've been using it for decades. And it really does bring me out of fear, bring me out of negativity, bring me out of feeling so speeded up right back to the moment where I know that I have a choice and I know that I can live my life intentionally in the way that I choose to live it. It's powerful.
Right. Peacefulmindpeacefullife.org is where our listeners can find information about you, your philosophies, the practice, which is the three-part guide to spirituality in today's world. And then briefly, the Facebook page. You have an online community via Facebook.
It shows to me how people are really searching and wanting to connect and wanting to really find this external peace or strength that we have. And we have 2.2 million followers on Facebook, Peaceful Mind, Peaceful Life, which is a nonprofit that I founded. Everything that I do, all the work, the lectures, the workshops, all the monies that come from having Jane Goodall speak, all of the book profits are going to this nonprofit to help continue to spread this throughout the world. Do a workshop with Jane Goodall in California, for instance. I just got back from Dublin, Ireland, and did a talk at the Oscar Wilde House. So it's powerful, and I think people are out there looking at a way to connect and really find a way to make life not so stressful. Life is stressful, but to be able to manage it better and really live the happy life you came here to live. So peace of mind, peace for life in the practice. I have a website too, BarbSchmidt.com. I love connecting with people from all over the world. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much for joining us. To round out this awesome segment of Mom Talk Radio, I'm pleased to introduce Steve Devick. And I've been saying Devick earlier, so I apologize, Steve. It is Devick. And he has co-authored the King Devick KD test, which was initially used to assess the relationship between eye movements and reading fluency. So we'll talk about the King Devick test and all about it. Welcome to the show, Steve.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. So what is this test and how does it work?
Well, it's a rapid number naming test. Actually, as you said, it's been around for many years as a kind of a test for reading disabilities and dyslexia. It's been in all the medical dictionaries for that use. And about 5 years ago, some researchers from New Zealand found that the first physical sign of post-concussion syndrome, which is when the concussions last a long time, like Sidney Crosby's did, was that they have a defect in their saccadic eye movements, which are the micro movements involved in reading, which is what the King-Divick test is always tested for. So we surmise that it might work for concussion sideline testing. And 53 peer-reviewed papers later, led by the world's top neurologists, it's been validated as a very effective, quick, and accurate methodology for screening for concussions on the sidelines.
Oh, wow. So actually, and that's been such a hot topic lately for pro and amateur sports, and especially youth sports, is concussions. So very, very timely. Is this something the NFL uses, or it's already in use on the sidelines, correct?
Some of the teams... Yes, it is. Oh, it's used all over. Actually, the NFL is one of the places that doesn't mandate its use. Actually, some of the teams in the NFL do use it. But again, our audience that we would love to serve best is the youth athletes, which really rarely even have an athletic trainer on the sidelines.
Mostly
volunteer coaches, and this is a test that could be administered by a parent and has been for many years when it comes to reading evaluation.
Right. So again, it started out as reevaluation, but now it's really emerged into a very critical sideline test. So is there anything in play within the youth sports to implement the test, or at least get it in the hands of, as you say, what's volunteer coaches?
Well, lots of leagues and schools already use the test. U.S. military uses it, and some of the big programs in the U.S. as far as college sports and major league lacrosse mandates it, and teams in the NHL use it, and a lot of youth and college teams utilize the test already. But again, it's been recently validated for kids as young as 5 years old, and since since parents can administer it if another healthcare provider isn't there, it's very useful in that regard.
Okay, so as young as five can be given the KD test.
Yes, and we've known that for many years because, again, it's been used for reading evaluations for kids that young. It's numbers,
right.
not words, so if you know numbers, you can do the test.
Right. Okay. So how do our listeners, as parents, especially volunteer coaches, I should say, youth sports, how do we find out about it if it's not being implemented within our local area?
Our website is kingdivictest.com. That's one word. And there's lots of information about it on that site.
Okay.
And there's been a lot of publicity around the test because it's been so validated and has been a useful objective tool. It's not subjective. You don't have to make a judgment. You just do a baseline before the game or before the season, and if after a suspected head trauma, the kid reads it a little slower than his baseline, then that means he needs to come out and be referred to a professional that will determine when they can go back in.
Right. So this is, again, just like a first-level test to say you're out, you sit the bench, or you need to go right now, you know, get some more testing. So,
yeah, this is a remove-from-play test. It's a very helpful remove-from-play because concussions are a hard thing to know about because typically the subject, whether it's a football player or a girls soccer player, often they deny that they have an injury because there's no real pain involved and they don't bleed. So it's nice to have a test that will objectively tell you if you have one. The reason it works is that it tests eye movements, and more than 50% of the brain's pathways are related to vision and eye movement. So if you have an injury or a concussion to your brain, very likely those eye movement pathways are affected.
Again, very, very timely. You've seen this a lot on the news. Again, not only with pro but youth sports, and a lot of Maria was actually on the ESPN. They did an Outside the Line segment on how the NFL is addressing concussions, but a lot of youth, a lot of football players, young kids are not playing anymore because the parents are so fearful of concussion and the long term effects. So. That's great. So it's King Divick. It's DEVICKtest.com. Thank you so much for joining us, Steve, on Mom Talk Radio, and best of luck. This is a very, very valuable tool. And thank you all so much for joining us on this edition of Mom Talk Radio. Maria will be back behind the mic next week, and you can find this show and other past shows at MomTalkRadio.com. Follow us on Facebook as well and on Twitter at Mom Talk Radio. Have a great week.